Disappointed! Disappointed!
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the After Disaster.
Oh, I didn't realize we were doing a low voice thing.
I like it. My name is Anderson. Mike Corrado, to my left, you just heard. In front of me is Tyler White.
And chaos is reigning.
The Holocaust.
Jesus. Welcome to the After Disaster. Only one headphone. Only one headphone works for me.
It was a matter of time before one of us ruined that.
I believe
the matter
Tyler
of time was about 8 seconds.
Impromptu Holocaust reference for some reason that doesn't.
Oh, it resonates and it makes sense. Now, is anyone else hearing the strange sound?
This one?
The sound of silence?
It sounds like a mini refrigerator, like you would see maybe in a mouse's apartment in a cartoon.
No.
All right.
How many people in their cubicles just stuck their ear up to the speaker?
You know what I did? I pushed my headphones closer to my ears for some reason. Like, that made a difference. I'm like, hold on, I got it.
This just in, for whatever reason, I listened to a recent episode. Right off the bat, we're going to talk about the show. That's cool with you guys. You guys down with that?
Sure.
It's a change of pace, but Let's do it.
Wow, that sound is not going away.
I kind of hear it now. Is it a high pitch?
Yeah. Why are you so loud all of a sudden? What's going on? Okay, everyone's...
I don't know,
It's gone. We're good. I listened to the Bahuka episode, the most recent Bahuka. God rest.
It's
your soul, Bahuka.
Fishy soul.
Let's have a moment for Bahuka.
Sorry, I'm trying to do a fish noise. I don't know what they sound like.
Well, you're not allowed at my funeral.
Is that a baritone fish?
I hate to break it to you, but I'm
you're not gonna
officiating your funeral. A funeral?
You're going to make fun of my grammar? Look at the way he spelled his name on his headstone. This idiot.
I will forever feel bad about all of that stuff.
Anyways, I listened to the Bahuka episode.
The only thing that could lift the guilt is if you guys got divorced. I'd be like, yeah, I did all right.
Well, I love you, Mike, but I don't know if I'm gonna make you feel more comfortable. Just get a divorce just to make you feel more comfortable with your performance. No, you're fine. You're fine. Shut up. Whatever. What I'm getting at here is, first of all, those claps are exceptionally loud. Second of all, listen to the Bahuka episode.
Dude, those were minus 12 dBs.
Loud. And it is unlistenable.
Please. How come?
Please,
how come?
Because you can hear me sawing in my steak as though that was like our guest.
I was very nervous about that, about the chewing noises and stuff.
I was nervous that you guys ordered the steak at Bahuka.
Yeah, it wasn't the best thing to eat. The ribs are what you're supposed to go with, apparently, according to the LA Times.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now it's back. I'm what the F? You guys aren't hearing that? It's not going in and out?
I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Why are you laughing as though you know?
I don't know. You look crazy.
Yeah, I don't hear it either.
They're handing each other their headphones right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, awful,
yeah.
Right?
No, it's terrible. Yeah, you should just get other headphones.
Well, here's my problem with that is I have four other shows that I'm doing after this one. Four! Oh, a very exciting summer preview. Film vault up later. Well, it will be available as you hear this. Actually, when is this available? What's going on?
Well, it's streaming live right now, and it'll be available tomorrow morning.
What? Really? No, but Thursdays.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thursday
on,
morning.
Settle down. All right, just full disclosure.
Wait, I said tomorrow morning, you said no, and I said yeah, Thursday, and you said
Thursday
yes.
Night usually is when we put it up. Anyways, we're doing this goddamn show at a very odd time, an odd time in the week, so everything's discombobulated, right?
Yes.
Mike? Yes? Tyler?
I concur. Tyler?
I'm curring.
Yay or...
I feel like we owe the listeners a tip, and Tyler, it's a tip that I got from you.
What's that?
And it's food related. And Mike, I think you might eat this tip up as well.
No pun.
Eat it up.
But there's a sandwich out there that many of you foodies already know, and I'm sure some of you are going to roll your eyes and be like, oh, Jesus Christ, Anderson, where have you been? But I won't be surprised if Carano's never had one. And I know that I was not introduced to the banh mi.
Banh mi. Yeah.
Banh mi. Until very recently. And it's a Vietnamese sandwich, and maybe the greatest sandwich in the history of sandwiches.
Well, let's hear it. What is it?
Tyler, why don't you take it away from here? I'm going to go in there and do some technical shit.
It is a nice French loaf, a little crispy, It's a Vietnamese dish. And then I don't know if it's a dish, it's a sandwich. And then it's some sort of like either a charbroiled like pork or beef. You can get like chicken, you can get a bunch of whatever. You can get like tongue and like weird meats, but I stick with the charbroiled pork. And then it comes with like a pickled pickled carrots.
Like that's all in the sandwich, actually. Pickled.
This is
carrots?
All in there, yeah. Pickled some type of radish called a daikon radish, some cilantro, and then like two slices of jalapeno. Oh, it's so good.
Can I get one?
Any Vietnamese
I'm starving
sandwich
right
shop.
Now.
Yeah,
I've never.
And
seen
it. They're like $2.50.
Okay, I've never heard of it. It sounds amazing, but it sounds a little similar to a regular sandwich, by the way, with the.
Except it's amazing because Vietnam was like a French colony, so they make really good bread and.
Good
it's,
point.
Yeah.
Good point.
It's ridiculous.
God, that's making it worse now. I was really hungry rolling in here.
And you get that bite of fresh jalapeno that just adds a little bit of singe to it.
I
oh,
like it.
My God. It's
I love
so
it.
Good.
Love
and
it.
If you're playing along at home, you don't know how to spell it. It's B-A-N-H space M-I.
Okay. Along those lines, what's come highly recommended to me, which I've never tried, is that pho. Have you done it?
Pho. Yeah. Pho is delicious also.
So now it's soup, right?
Yes.
And what makes it better than other soup, which I find, I think soup sucks. Let me just say that right up front. But I want to know why that.
They put a ton of stuff in it. It's like vermicelli noodles, and then you can get any sort of like you can get beef or chicken or shrimp or pork, or and then like a whole bunch of different veggies. And there's spicy ones. There's not spicy ones. There's ones with coconut milk in them. They're delicious.
Okay, all right.
There's two things I need to try.
That's it. What's that?
It's my new new tone when I get a text.
I like it. Did you make it or buy it?
Cool.
It's just on the phone. You have it as well.
It sounds like when the band's warming up at the Oscars.
All right, so enough food talk, other than the fact that I was really, really craving a banh mi. Tyler turned me on a few months ago out in his neighborhood. If you type it in your phone, you live in a metropolis. Chances are there's a Vietnamese restaurant somewhere within driving distance. I'm lucky enough to live in the valley where everything's out there, so there's one like 7 minutes away from my house. So I got to know those guys pretty well recently. They all know me now. They almost know what I want. Because almost like 9 out of the 10 sandwiches, Mike, are pork. So that sucks for me. Because I don't eat that half human, half dog animal. But I get the
chicken. That you think that.
They have a sardine version, which I haven't tried that one yet. But
they
have
one that's like with head cheese or whatever it's called.
Yeah. What's really sad, though, is the other night, leaving work around 2:30 in the morning, craving one badly, thinking that I could pull off a Subway switcheroo. Maybe if I have them make it my way, it'll taste good. And I had them
that's so fantastic.
Jalapenos in there.
That's fantastic. You just tell the guy, I'm going to pay you for large and let me go behind the counter. I'm going to try my best to construct this sandwich that comes from a specialty restaurant.
Not even close, because I normally don't get jalapenos because I don't like jalapenos that much because they pickle them.
Wait, I'm sorry. I got up and you turned off my speaker, so I wasn't able to hear what you said. What happened?
No, I went to Subway and I was trying to
trying to trick them into making one. That's fantastic.
The Bonmies. And I hope we move on from food. I know I'm the one who brought it up, but really, there's nothing worse than talking about food unless you're a foodie and or a food expert, right?
Food is not even a bad thing to talk about. There's most things are worse than talking about food.
Really?
Yeah. Food's interesting. Everybody likes to eat. People want to hear about
food. Yeah, all the people are hungry at their jobs right now listening to us.
How many people do you think are listening to this that are going to get a banh mi later today?
Oh, man. Banh mi. You should invest 000. In banh mis right now.
So, that's
is that even an investment you can make?
You just invest in sandwiches.
I'm going to get my guy on the phone tomorrow morning. By my guy, I mean the guy I'm making
bye,
up.
Bye, bye.
Every time I eat a banh mi, I think of Tyler saying, the way he described it to me, he was trying to sell me on the sandwiches. Of course, I'm Anderson, so I was very negative. Like, dude, I don't want that. No, dude. It just goes to like Subway or something. And Tyler talked me into it, and he said, you don't understand. And they put two of them. It's like got this kind of meat. It's on a fresh baguette. And they,
I don't think I said it like that.
They strategically place these jalapenos perfectly.
I'm in.
And it's true. Every time I eat one at my shop, too, Tyler.
You're like, wait, did I get a jalapeno? And then right when you get that thought, you get the bite.
I love that.
They're the raw kind. They're not the pickled, gross, like dark army green kind.
No, I know what they are. I got it on my pizza last night. I got jalapenos and peppercini.
They probably weren't fresh, though. They were probably totally fresh
because I got it at
they usually pickle
Pizza
them.
Rev in the Valley. Good pizza place. I wish I wouldn't have given them an ad because they're not super friendly.
I go to Nino's Pizza from Drive.
And
it's great.
Do you stand at their...
Where they put cherries on the pizza.
I didn't know that place was real.
Oh, it is.
I would have gone there.
It's not called Nino's, though.
It's gone now, Mike. You missed your chance.
But they still do have the Nino sign up. It's where the guy got the fork. He got killed. If you've seen Drive.
But I didn't know that was a real pizza place.
It's where you see Albert Brooks in the opening scene eating Chinese
food.
Spoiler
alert.
Such a good movie. I got to watch that again. Hey, so
Italian food restaurant.
I was in whatever neighborhood we spoke about yesterday. I don't remember. Near Van Nuys. And that place I went
Woodland Hills is where you were yesterday.
Well, the place I went to was a, was kind of an upscale neighborhood, but it's zoned for commercial and... So it's essentially...
it's really weird.
Yeah, it's really nice houses, and then they have businesses like in their backyard.
Yeah,
and
it's awesome.
This guy had a framing shop in his garage, a four-car garage, and the guy next door made car covers.
Oh, I saw your Vine.
But it was weird that it's a...
it was weird.
But a very nice house, and then you... Like, I walked down this guy's, like... tiled driveway to the back, and there's a bunch of dudes back there making frames.
Okay, but let's get back to the guy that does car covers.
Yeah, I didn't talk to him, so I don't know much about
it. You think if you move in next door, he's like, all right, since you live on the street, you have to have a car cover. That's part of the deal.
I like it.
If you live on the street.
He just scratches your car until you get one.
Have you guys ever had a car cover?
No.
I had one when I got my first car, 55 Cadillac Coupe DeVille, 51,000 original miles, spotless, fantastic, amazing car.
I feel like I'm hearing Mike read an ad right now, straight out of the penny saver.
A car cover.
Wait, tell me that again. What was your car?
55 Cadillac Coupe DeVille with the Eldorado package, including the aluminum saber wheels.
No, you said miles as well.
51,000 original miles.
OBO.
Baby blue with a dark blue top.
you got to put a price at the end and say OBO.
Or best offer.
Yeah. But wait, there's more.
So I got a car cover for that car, and I loved it because you put that baby on, and your car never got dusty, and it was always clean.
That's the whole
and it wasn't
fucking
hot.
Point.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
That's why people get them.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Are you telling me that you put a cover over the car?
I didn't know that was the point at the time. I thought
and
it was
in doing so.
People from fucking with it.
Dust doesn't go on the car? Like, do leaves get in it? The leaves must be able to get in there underneath.
Nothing gets in there, but here's
Greg,
the thing.
It's full of raccoon piss.
Probably does get full of rodents. So
I didn't,
like, oh,
use,
cool.
I didn't use it all
the
time. I didn't use it that often, but and you can't use it in the rain. The one I had, a very high-quality one with the soft.
What, do you got to drive into the garage?
Here's
not
the thing.
Rainproof?
What the fuck? This one isn't rainproof. It was soft cloth. It was soft cloth. Right. But somebody told me once that I wouldn't leave that on your car because that's how they break in now. They crawl under, smash the window. And they go inside and do all their stereo removal while the car comes on, and no one knows.
What?
And I was like, yeah, fuck this.
In the dark, they must have used a flashlight. And that, if it's
probably a miner's lamp.
Uh-huh. Night vision. You know people have had car covers, and they've had like really nice cars, and they haven't looked under them for like weeks, maybe months. And then they finally pull it open, and it's just like three or four homeless people living in there. Mm-hmm. They have like walls set up in the back seat. They got a whole little village.
How great would that be? You got like a cardboard shape of a Ferrari. You got the original tires, but then there's a piece of plywood and like a tent.
That would be great.
That would actually be good. Find one of those spots where you can just park forever.
Years that baby's there.
How about this? You finally take the car cover off and you're like, oh, fuck. Somebody replaced my nice car with a piece of shit.
I like that idea,
when did this happen?
I like that, too.
Fantastic. Car cover talk. followed up the
8 minutes
bombing.
In.
Yeah, how about this? You put a car cover on your car. Mm-hmm. You're a mobster. Somebody comes in, plants a bomb waiting for you to start the car and kill yourself. Years pass. Both the bomber and the bombie have passed away. Somebody else buys the house, and they find this cool old Cadillac or something under the car cover. Blows up. Solved the crime.
Okay, I don't think that's solving it if they died.
No, you need to solve it. That's the movie.
Oh.
The movie solves the crime.
What would it be called?
Okay, I want to talk about shitty toys in the 70s. Which just kind of popped in the head now.
Most of them are shitty.
I bet there's a chance that you're the same toy that I had. We'll get to that in a second. I also want to talk about how I
didn't have any toys in the 70s, guys.
I've definitely grown up. I'm gonna give you
neither
guys
did your mom.
Glaring example of how I've become very mature over the last couple of years. And I also want to talk. I don't know if I ever talked to you guys about how I actually had a plan to kill someone when I was in high school. Did I ever talk to you guys about that?
No. I think you should skip everything.
I was also doing meth at the time, and I had it all written out on paper, and I actually. So, I don't want to say I took the first steps, but I mean, it was a plan, and I was planning on following out the plan. Like, they say that you know someone's going to kill themselves or serious if they know how they're going to do it. I knew how I was going to kill this guy.
Did you have it written down?
I got to say, writing it down right there is
and
a
I was
horrible,
stalking him.
Horrible error in judgment.
And I was stalking him, and I knew his hours
and
his work.
And look, now you work with Dr. Drew. So weird.
Yep, so far. I wrote it down
it's
is the part
con.
That bothers me the most. I wrote it down.
I was like writing down notes like when
did
he
you
gets,
write it on
when he works.
Yellow
I was writing,
legal pad?
I did a lot of there was a lot of scratches out, and I was trying to figure out the perfect
night. Was this back when you were inventing
languages? It was kind of around that time, yeah.
I was listening to that episode recently, and I got so mad and happy about you at the same time.
Yeah, when I was an ultra douche, I was sitting around and I never had anything to say because I was on so much meth that I would just like go into a meth hole and I couldn't even speak. And I would just be sitting, and I was sitting in a friend's house like in a lazy boy recliner, and there was two moderately attractive girls sitting in there, and I had nothing to say to them.
Meth attractive?
Talking to other people in the room, but I definitely wanted to impress them somehow, so I decided to start making random shapes on a legal pad until they finally looked over and I knew they'd ask, like, what's that all about? And I'd be like, I don't have time to write out the full sentences, so I made up this language where each symbol is like worth two or three sentences. I know what it means, but you guys, and I'm writing a story right now.
Every time one of us, I'd like to include Tyler in this, but he hasn't really exposed some horrible, horrible side to his personality yet. Every time one of us does something, I'm like, I wish I wouldn't have said that because I just exposed too much of myself. Then you'll top it, and I'm like, yeah, thank God.
I don't feel like it's that because I think a lot of people have horrible things like this.
No, of course, no, it's absolutely relatable, but it's sometimes I'm like. Like I told you one time, and I don't remember what you had revealed, but I was like, I don't fucking know you. Like when you said that, I was like, I don't know that guy.
That I cut off wiener?
No, the wiener one was just like, I can't believe you didn't tell us that. But there was something you did, I was like, that is so insane.
For those who don't know, Anderson doesn't have a wiener.
Nope.
I can't really elaborate on this, but this is the first time in my life, and hopefully the only time, and hopefully it's very short-lived, but this is the only time that I've ever been in a position where I see an amputee or someone missing a limb or more, and I get angry and I dislike that person. Can't elaborate. Can't see anymore. But I was watching a movie a couple days ago, and a guy showed up and he was missing an arm, and it reminded me of somebody else, and I became enraged. You know what I mean? Like if you hate a boss or something, and they have a big mole on their cheek,
okay,
and then you see
it.
A woman with a mole, and you're reminded of that person.
So
I'm in that position right now.
A one-limbed or a missing a limb person wronged you somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Can't elaborate. I wish I could. Maybe one day I will. But
you know what?
Wait, why can't you?
I can't.
Because whoever you're talking about would know.
Immediately, yes.
No, but they'd already know because you're talking about that they don't have an arm.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not saying anything bad about that person. Okay.
Wait, is it an arm?
Let's talk about shitty toys from the 70s.
Okay.
Is it at the elbow or is it at like the wrist?
A car kit. They're like little matchbox cars. And you had tinfoil. And you were supposed to put that tinfoil, like press it over them. Like there was a little kit and you'd put
car
it
covers.
On top of it. And that's what made me think of it, yeah.
Metal car.
And then it had like these pens. They were supposed to be special pens, but they weren't special at all. They just wrote on aluminum foil. And
that's special though, because most pens won't do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's do a test. I bet you can.
I don't need to do a test.
Maybe 70s pens couldn't write on foil.
Ballpoint pens won't write on aluminum foil.
No, of course not.
Ballpoint pens. Huh? Oh, I got to play a clip for you guys later. Someone sent me my, I got to tell the story moment.
You have one.
It's me, yeah. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Mike said, but I want to tell the story really strangely many episodes ago. And we isolated it, and we still have fun with it these days.
It's not bad enough to be good.
So this the cover of the box, I mean, I swear
bad,
to God, these toy companies back in the day, worse than anything that the fast food companies do with their giant, luscious, juicy burgers. The toy companies were just as bad in the 70s. And it might still continue to be,
giant,
but I'm not.
Lushy, juicy burger sounds delicious.
But I remember the box. I got it for Christmas. The box showed like these little cars, but they looked big on the box. They're completely being smashed, and you could put them in a crusher, and like you could crush them.
I know it.
You open it up, and you get a mold of a little car, and you put the tinfoil over it, and you just press it on. So now, and you take it off carefully, and it's just a shell.
And you crush tinfoil, like some bullshit.
And you're supposed to draw on them and like make the windows blue. And I tried. I remember, and actually kind of being enjoying it because I was a stupid kid going, yeah, this is cool.
It makes me irate to think about how horrible kids' toys are even to this day, unless you spend tons of money and you find a unique one that's designed by and manufactured by a cool company. But when I was a kid, look at the 50s things.
What are the cool companies?
Well, like, you know, when I was a kid, when the $6 Million Man doll came out, the reason that was state-of-the-art is because you could look through the back of his head. They had a little magnifying glass down. You could look out his actual eye.
Oh, that's cool.
You could roll up his skin and see the bionics.
What?
And there was one other thing.
You could wrap him in foil and crush him.
Yeah, he had the button where it made his fist grip.
Oh,
he could hold the engine. But before that...
The engine?
Yeah, he came with an engine because he was so strong he'd carry an engine around.
Like a car engine?
I swear to God, I own it.
What did he do with the engine?
A car engine with a handle on it, and he would carry it around. I don't know. Look
that
up
was
the
his
toy.
Briefcase, just
$6 Million Man. It's the one where he's wearing the red outfit. That's the one that came with the engine. I had it. I still have it. I bought a new one on eBay.
Were you the kid that destroyed your toys?
Oh yeah, yeah. And then I rebought them all.
You ever
have
Stretch
money.
Armstrong?
Of course.
We
yes.
used to. My friends and I used to like. Each
no,
take,
if you eat what's inside him, you die.
We used to hear that all the time. You can't because we'd break them open. And the way we break them open, Ty, is like I take one arm and then my buddy and a couple people would take the other arm and we'd stretch it all the way across the road and wait for cars to come. It was good times.
That toy was just begging to be broken.
It was. And if you eat what's inside, you die.
And whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But the inside doesn't matter. Right? No, but the inside doesn't matter. It's the rubber that's the stretchy part with resilience.
Yeah, it just has to give it some kind of form.
That was like a torture thing for kids to get used to torturing animals. Don't you
and
think?
He was so smiley the whole time. Mm-hmm. He liked it.
You know what?
Felt bad for him when he wasn't being stretched.
I was telling somebody that all those are gone because whatever that material was couldn't have lasted. They don't exist anymore. And they said, oh, no, I saw some on eBay from the 70s, and they were still stretchy. I was like, what? Is that even possible?
Why wouldn't they make that material anymore? Why would you think that was like a
no? Once the toy, once they didn't make the toy anymore. Like if you bought one in the '70s, it can't still be good today, can it?
Maybe Twinkies are still good. Mm. Is there someone selling Twinkies for like $10 a pop? On the
I don't know, but they
there
have,
must be.
Have you been in the store yet?
Yeah, they're
wait,
gone.
Wait, well,
they're long gone.
You're way behind the times. No. They're not long gone.
Are they back?
When they said they were going out of business, That's when there was a run on them.
Right.
And then, oh, maybe not out of business. Maybe they're going to keep making them.
Well, I don't think they're in the store. I haven't seen them.
They may not be, but...
They're not in the stores right now. What made me say that? I'm sorry. All right, Ty, I might offend you right now. Well, actually, no, I'm not going to offend you. Because I'm going to talk about what I was going to do, but I didn't do it because you know what? I'm growing up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, back on the toy thing.
Mm-hmm.
The epitome of kids are stupid, and it's a horrible, depressing part of life that you have to learn this lesson... is that they prey on kids. They are like salespeople.
But who's comic they? Book,
comic
who are
books,
these theys?
Comic books, mm-hmm. All the magazines made for kids because you flip to the back and you got x-ray specs. You got all these joke things that kids look at and think, this is incredible. You know, as long as I can come up with $6, I can get x-ray glasses. And there's no way they could advertise them if they don't really work, right? And turns out, yeah, they can. They can totally lie. They can send you BS, absolutely non-working cardboard, made up, total scam, and it's the most disheartening thing ever for a kid when you
get
something
and realize
it
like, does not actually work. Must. It's okay, though, because a short, like, 10, 15 years later, you're looking at porn, and at the back, they have videos you can send away for money, and those descriptions hold up. So it's like, oh, well, not all life
but
sucks.
By then, you're bitter.
No one's ever sounded older than saying, sending away for porn.
I was talking about him from the 70s, being a child. And the 80s were right around the corner.
I found I want to tell a story. I found I found a porn.
Sandy wants to tell a story.
I found a porn ad. Mm-hmm. It was a link online that was about something about 70s porn, and one of them was an ad from the 80s, and it was the very first advertisement in Playboy magazine for a chat room. Now it was an internet chat room from like 1991. I should have said 90s or 1992, where there were no video. No photographs. A photograph would pop up, like a 56-bit, like, digitized photograph of a chick.
Looks like a video game character.
Yeah, and then there would be texting, and you would text, and the text on the ad was like, hey, baby, I'm glad to hear from you. Let me slip out of these soft underwear real quick before we get started. And so you typed back and forth with what you thought was this hot chick. And of
it probably course, was. It was probably really, really attractive girl.
But how did that do anything for you? It was
attractive girl that can type.
Exactly. While she's slipping out of her soft underwear.
It's rude. Rude. Well, it's really bright in here. I have to get up and adjust the lighting. I can't take it.
You want me to do it?
And I got the thing in my ear that no one else can hear except for me. The brightness is going on.
I was gonna say you might as well grab some other headphones.
Yeah, but I can't control the volume. You see.
You can set it. It's better than having that buzz.
Oh, that's brutal. Oh, it's worse. That's you.
You son of a bitch.
Look at it. Here's how dumb I am. I put them on, and I'm like, oh, well, the downside of this is I can't adjust the volume. As soon as I put them on, I start reaching for my volume. That has nothing to do with these headphones. Fuck this. Take the bus.
I was listening to a podcast walking through Runyon Canyon yesterday. Got my car, decided to finish it off with the headphones on. And every time I wanted to turn it up or down, I reached for the stereo. Every time. All the way home.
Well, working in radio is pretty sweet, or any kind of medium where there's a delay, which I've worked in a lot of live TV, too, where you can hit delay. And you get so used to it that I find myself in the car often listening. And I'm like, what did he just say? And I'll look for a button on for a good 3 seconds on my dash. I'm like, oh, wait, there's not a button that I can go back in time. I do it in real life sometimes, too. Like I'll be talking.
I like it.
On this show, I've done it. What did Mike just say? I wasn't listening, but I can just hit a button. But I don't have it in here. Son of a bitch.
Do you want to hear my I want to tell a story?
I would like to hear your I want to tell a story. Well, let me hear Mike's first again if you have it queued.
I want to tell a story.
Totally unprovoked. All right.
Hockey Manager made me a pretzel.
Let me hear it again. A little louder.
Hockey Manager made me a pretzel.
I was talking about making pretzels.
Sounds like you're speaking. We got to go for pretzels.
Never,
you got so excited about the prospect of me making him a pretzel.
I got to try that pretzel maker. I took my garage door opener and pointed it at the red light once in Brea.
Whoa. Did you also eat some Stretch Armstrong?
I want to push that button right
like
now.
Putting up but I pulled up and instinctually I just pulled out my garage door opener, did this like I could change the light. And then I caught myself doing it and I was like, God, am I that tired?
Oh, we're back on that. I get it.
Am I that tired?
I'd be doing that right now.
The Improv's being remodeled, so it's completely gutted, and I got yelled at today by construction workers for walking across the newly finished floor. Yelled at by like 10 guys screaming at me. So I couldn't pee, and you know where I peed? I drove
on the floor.
I drove almost doubled over all the way to Run Deep Canyon and peed in
the
public.
Bush?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you just pee in the alley behind your work?
Your aren't brain's like, first instinct was to, I know where there's a hill that I can drive to and pee. Wait,
Mike, why didn't you
just,
there's like multiple bathrooms at the Improv.
No, they're all closed. Gutted. They're gutted. Yeah, it's nothing there.
What if I want to go see a show there this weekend?
Yeah, you're not going to have any luck with that.
Really? It's closed?
It's totally closed.
How long?
A week or two right now, then it opens for a week, and then it closes for 2 or 3 weeks.
You going this weekend to April Foolishness?
Am I invited?
I don't know. I guess maybe, possibly.
If I'm invited, let me know.
Well, I thought maybe you just go because it's comics and that's kind of your world.
Yeah, but you guys are the only ones who can get me in.
Okay, so
I can't get you in.
I think he means Drew and I and Mike, Catherwood. Okay, so Easter just erupted, right? Candy everywhere.
That was my sound of Easter erupting.
Eggs. Call make fun of me all you want. I did a Easter egg hunt for Jillian. I hit him at 4 a.m. I got up. I'm like, hey, look, there's Easter eggs out there. And she went out and she found them.
Hold on, I'm trying to find a way to make fun.
Didn't
you
do that? Didn't you do that before, though?
Give her a basket.
With a much
that's
more,
how I proposed
much
to
more
her.
Important results.
That's how I proposed to her. But now it's kind of like a given that she's gonna have an Easter egg hunt every goddamn year.
That's how you propose to her. Yeah. Honey, can you go pick up that dog shit? And she goes out there. There's a letter.
Why would
will
there be
you
a letter?
Marry me?
Why would there be a letter
written in dog shit?
No, Easter's her favorite. It's her favorite holiday.
It's called a poo-posal.
It is?
Tyler.
Wait, I thought Halloween was your favorite her favorite holiday.
No, she doesn't like it.
Wait, whoa. I'm positive you said you guys are really into Halloween.
No, we are into Halloween. We like Halloween. We like it.
Easter's the favorite now?
But Easter's her she loves her Easter, so I knew that I was going to propose to her by like having a little Easter egg hunt when we lived in an apartment, and one of the last eggs that she would find that I would make extra hard to find, even though that's not the way I did it. But like it was a big egg, and I had the ring in there, and it was sweet, and it was nice, and I'm a total pab for doing that. But anyways.
Harmony pretzel.
I live about 100 yards from a church, which is hard not to do when you live in the valley because there's goddamn churches everywhere. I didn't mean to be blasphemous right there, but I was. I don't know how that's a church. Sounds more like a buoy.
It's an ocean church.
It's a boat
church.
Know. It's a church boat bell.
And I don't really pay much mind to this church, you know. It's just a church. And I think, why don't they cut the grass so I could take the dogs over there? That'd be kind of fun. Hey. And I could have a use for the church because it's got a big, giant lawn, which is kind of hard to find.
Cut your
in the
grass
valley.
So I can let my pup shit on your lawn.
Didn't notice much about the church until Easter rolled around, and they had very ominous, very real, because they were absolutely real, crucifixes up in front. Like, made out of actual trees with the bark still on it. Like, really rudimentary. Like, they actually went and got a guy who doesn't know how to build things. Like, they... Okay, like sometimes they use home footage in movies, right? Mm-hmm. And I've read stories of, like, they have the camera crew do it, but it looks way too professional. So they have to, like, put it in the hands of, like, one of the interns or PAs or something. Because to make it look authentically bad, you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like they went out and they got somebody who has no idea about woodworking to put together these crosses. I mean, they looked medieval.
Is it like a tribute to Jesus or something?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, if he was born more recently and he was electrocuted in an electric chair, I guess they'd have electric chairs out there. That's true, right?
That would be so interesting.
Mm-hmm. Or if they hung him. I mean,
although, arguably, electric chair is a much better way to go than crucifying.
Well, either way, he's coming back. But would we
you want to know something?
Would people wear little chairs?
What you just said, I'm not accusing you of stealing that joke. Uh-huh. I'm not accusing you of stealing that joke. I heard Mel Brooks tell a story about seeing a comedian in San Francisco in the 50s. And he goes, I'll tell you a joke that guy had, and it was exactly what you just said.
I actually heard it in a movie not that long ago, but I'd heard it before that.
This is like a week ago on the Mark Maron podcast, and Mel Brooks goes, I remember this guy had this joke up there about,
he'll promote
hey,
the
if
Mark
Jesus
Maron
was
podcast.
Electrocuted, do you think we'd all pay? No, but that's interesting that you would say that. And you know what's even more interesting about that is I was going to tweet something similar to that, and I was so happy that I heard that Mel Brooks interview, and I didn't.
I first heard it a long time. It might have even been George Carlin. I don't know.
Oh, maybe it was Carlin that told
but
the joke.
I'm not telling a joke. I'm just saying that. Yeah. I just brought that up because it's true. I mean,
just making a casual observation.
Hey, so
Gallo, what if you got killed with guns? Though? Would we just have guns out or bullets? I mean, how would they represent that? How would people wear that around their neck,
walk
Tyler?
Walk around blindfolded, smoking cigarettes.
You know what?
Wait, but how would you wear it around your neck?
I have a bullet that I wear around my neck.
What, does it say Jesus on it?
No.
Okay.
Does it say Jesus on it?
Does it say Jesus on it? Jesus. Listen to me.
I would if you'd finish your story.
The goddamn, so there's three crosses. So it's very realistic, right? Because they got
Jesus
the,
and his two kids.
And his two buddies that were like thieves, and Heath forgave them.
Always.
If I believe on all this
right
malarkey.
Side of life.
I'm sorry to all the Christians, my sister included. But if I believed in all of it, they're going to heaven.
Yeah.
They were like rapists or thieves or I don't know my history of religion. I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it says it right in it. Like, if you believe, then you're good to go. Anyways. Yeah. So I've seen these crosses. They're up for about a week, and I, driving by them, it's somewhat unsettling. And I know that's the whole point. Like, you're supposed to remember that this guy died for you, and you know, feel the guilt and all this and that. Easter comes.
Feel the guilt.
Easter, feel the guilt.
It's what they're doing.
New slogan: Feel the guilt. TM.
Easter comes.
We should get shirts made that say "Feel the guilt."
The cross in the middle. Has tons. It's actually kind of pretty, especially with the breeze.
Wait, I'm sorry. That's really funny, that whole field of guilt thing. That would just be a goddamn. That would be a great.
I don't know why you're saying goddamn.
Field of guilt. That would be a great tagline for a church.
Well, that's what they're all going after, isn't it?
Come on down to Christian ministry.
I got to tell you.
Blah, blah, blah.
Field of guilt. Saying all this, recently I've really missed religion. And I say missed as though I had it at one point or another. I wish that I had religion. I can definitely feel a hole in my center, and I wish that I could
fill it. You go to an AA meeting. That fills it.
Yeah, but God's at the end of that one.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't ever bring that up.
I do feel like I would be a stronger person if I had make-believe in my life. I wish I had more of that. Make-believe magic.
Well,
I've offended all three of the Loveline listeners. Call in 1-800-LOUD-191. I know a few of you guys are out there. We also have Loveline people calling in right now that I'm offending left and right because I put them on hold, and as soon as I talk about Jesus, they all hung up.
Like, what show am I called?
You know what I've noticed is my Twitter followers will not fucking budge.
About what?
I'll get like 8 new followers, and then I check like 6 hours later, and it's down 1. Like, I'll get like, it'll be like 910, and then it'll be 899. Like, it's just, it goes up and down by 10 within a day period. It's just weird. Like, 10 people will follow me.
Those are mattress companies.
And 9.
Going out of business.
9 or 10 will unfollow me within 24 hours.
Because you've offended them?
I don't know.
So, I'm driving by the crosses, and I'm to the point now where I look forward to seeing them. I know where they're going to be. You know, because I hang a left on my street, and one of the first things I see are these crosses now, which make me feel the guilt. Okay, our people
feel
calling
the
it
guilt. Feel it.
And on Easter morning, flowers appeared on Jesus's. The other two guys, they got nothing. But
yeah, fuck those guys.
Big giant, like, it wasn't a wreath. It was actually really pretty. It was like string flower, like flowers like strung together, and they were white and they were pretty. They looked like the Hawaiian type, and they were kind of like blowing in the breeze. I'm like, that's kind of nice. Is that his body? His body's no longer there. Like, it took off. Like, what's that represent? And then there's a cross on it, like an actual cross. And immediately I thought, that looks just like the Burger King. Crown.
Knew what you meant. Yeah,
cross.
Weird.
How do you put a cross
Jesus
on a cross?
Jesus must have put that in my head.
Can you imagine a cross with bling on it? That'd be weird. Like big cross hanging off it. But no, it's a crown. And
he was black.
Immediately, I'm thinking that could be a Burger King crown.
I don't even know if he really was. I just say that because everyone else says it.
He's darker than he is in the pictures.
This guy that the two of us don't believe in, we're discussing what shade is this make-believe guy's skin was.
He's not make-believe.
Tyler would know because he worships
him.
Yeah,
I would know what color he is.
Know the guy who worships color.
He what? He what's color?
Well, if he's from that area, he's probably a nice olive-skinned man.
His blue eye thing.
I'm sure he's not blue-eyed.
Maybe he was blonde and blue, and that's why they all just assumed he was the son of God.
He was just some Norse guy that washed up, and they're like, who's this dude?
And so he was afraid, so he came out in blackface, and they're like, oh,
was running errands, and I was going to be back in an hour, and I'm like, I have to go to Burger King and get a paper, one of those paper crowns.
Oh, no.
And I can make a funny Vine video. I could do pictures. There's so many things I could do with this crown and be like odd, you know, Burger King campaign. And then I'm like, you know how fucking like rude that is? And to the believers who are going to see that. And just why would you even think about doing it? I was ashamed of myself. Two years ago, wouldn't have felt that
exactly.
guilt.
Exactly.
I would have done it. I would have definitely done it.
You're getting older. You're getting better.
It's upsetting.
You know what? It is upsetting because when you said that, it was along the lines of, like, let's say there's a band you don't like. I can't even, just whoever. And the singer happens to be homosexual.
Chris Brown.
It's like showing up. No, that's not a good one because you don't dislike religion like you dislike Chris Brown. Like, I don't, like, as much as I talk bad about religion, I don't hate it. I just don't care about people's religion, but I hate Chris Brown. Like, I think he's a piece of shit human being.
Right. I don't hate religion. I hate how people get about their religion.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. No, I hate people that I hate people with religious bumper stickers. That's a fact. But you making fun of Jesus by putting that crown on him is just, there's no reason for that.
Yeah. It's hateful. It's spiteful. Yeah, it's aggressive. Like, now if the church had wronged me and I was trying to get back at him,
oh, yeah, then it's hilarious.
Like if it was an armless person up there or something.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, the armless
it's
Jesus.
Armless. It is armless.
Oh, no. You know what? Give it way too much away.
You know what?
What?
They would, I'll tell you one thing. If he was armless, one of those nails wouldn't have got rusty.
Oh, how would they do that? They'd have to do torso.
They'd
I'm
have
sure
to go shoulder blade. They go shoulder blade.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Can you ask one of your guys from your church how they would do
sure,
it?
Sure, I'll ask one of my guys.
If crucifixions didn't exist, like they just weren't because there's some horrible things. Like the stuff that happens in my script, Ty, that you read about. Like that's horrible, but it's the simplest stuff in the world, right?
Yeah.
But you've never seen it. So the same could be said like of crucifixions. It's like, what if crucifixions never occurred?
Bring me the fish and lines.
And you saw a movie and there was a crucifixion in there, that would be the most horrific thing anyone's ever seen. Right?
I got to tell you, I'm excited about your script because as I was getting into it, I was like, it's weird when you are reading a script and you think, I'm reading a script, as you know, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden you get caught up in it like it's the movie.
Oh, it's good. He's caught up in it. Good. Good.
No, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was caught up in finished it first take.
Yeah, well, you're a speed reader, Ty. Mike and I aren't good readers.
I don't have an excuse. My excuse is I hate reading.
I think your friend will like it more than you or as much
Greeny
as you.
Greeny or the other friend?
Hacking the other friend. Me a pretzel.
Yeah. Tyler, was that you right now or
no,
was
no,
that,
Tyler,
okay.
So. I almost bought pretzels last night at CVS.
Not like, you know, I'll make you guys some goddamn pretzels, okay?
Empty promises.
All
right. Right now you're going to do it?
No, not right now.
Yeah, you didn't get up. For those at home.
But they're not crunchy pretzels, right? They're soft.
They're soft, yeah.
Hey.
Ooh, pretzel bon mi.
Do you guys know what they have at Disneyland?
Ooh.
They have
a lot of
they
ships.
Have those big pretzels filled with cream cheese.
That sounds gluttonous.
Sounds good, though, right?
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you. Okay. What's on the docket here, fellas?
I have a question.
Hey, you want to bring in some guests, maybe?
Should we
bring in a guest? Should we try and do that? Should we try and bring somebody in one of these days soon, now that we're doing it at a regular time?
Oh, I thought you were specifically asking me to bring somebody because Margaret Cho and Jim Short will come in to promote their podcast.
Let's bring in Jim Short because I feel like we fucked
them. Yeah, but Margaret will come with them, too.
All right, cool. Let's bring them both on.
Okay.
Yeah. They're not allowed to talk about their podcast, but let's bring them in.
You got it. I'll make it clear.
I love Margaret. I just give me a heads up because I won't bring Stanley.
She's a sweetheart.
I know. I love her. She's a very, very nice lady. She's crazy as shit.
She's better now.
All right. Well, she was crazy as shit last time I was hanging out with her, and she
maybe
literally
she was doing drugs or something.
Put Stanley in her purse and was trying to hop in the cab.
You told me. That's fucking, that's weird.
So I just won't bring Stan, man. But yeah, that'd be great. That'd be fun.
That'd be good.
Duh, we're not going to do that, though. That's just offensive, Ty. Come on.
What? I'm playing church noises.
Wrong church.
They were out of bells that week.
Hey, do people still get crucified on Easter?
Yep, all the time.
No, like that's like what some like ultra-religious people do. Like they go up and
they do like reenactments and stuff.
Yeah, but with actual nails and the whole bit. Yeah.
Probably in some crazy like Bolivia or something.
How many? Okay, what about the
dude? You know one dick was up there and he's like, it's not that bad.
Yeah, no, it's easy.
How'd you do this?
It'd be you with your shark earring.
Of course.
You know what? It actually kind of
this isn't
good.
So bad. He gets so much credit. It's not a big deal.
The well, I don't think it's as bad as that dude that hangs himself from hooks for hours.
That was a movie called The Cell.
No, there's a guy that does it as an art exhibit.
Yeah, Mike, that guy doesn't stick spears through his sides and break his legs.
It's true.
Wait, Jesus got speared?
He got speared, yes. Too. There's that part in that movie. Passion.
Never saw it. Never saw it. Never will.
And they break your legs.
Never will.
And your arms break. And then you have to, like, push yourself up. And it's
well,
gross.
Well, let's get back to something more pleasant.
Yes. Tilda Swinton.
Sleeping in the box?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I want to love her.
Is she still
but
there?
But that's so weird.
You
it's totally random. It's totally random.
You never
random.
Know when she's going to be there.
No, people call the museum all the time, and they ask when she's going to be there, and the woman says, I have no idea. And it, there's an article I read, and the woman's like, oh, she's here now. Like, saw her come in.
Well, there she is. Oh, does she have her own key to the box? How does she just...
You know what? All these questions I need answers to as well, because I had so many questions, and then I just clicked onto another article.
Great, great line in Full Metal Jacket. You're so ugly, you could be a goddamn modern art masterpiece. It's funny Tilda Swinton's in that box.
Is it Conan or is it Tilda?
Tilda Swinton. What?
She looks
oh,
like Conan
which
O'Brien.
One? Who's what? Tilda Swinton's so goddamn good, and we need to talk about Kevin. Goddamn, she's good. I like her.
The funniest thing, in my opinion, and I know everyone didn't agree with me, was when I discovered Tilda Swinton on Twitter the first night, and every tweet had me doubled over. Now, in retrospect, I read them, and it's not as funny as I remember.
Well, it's not really her, right?
No, it's totally not her. In fact, it was two writers that wrote everything out months in advance and then strategically tweeted them at certain times. And it was just this crazy prose, and you know, about as if Tilda Swinton is this mystical creature that lives in the forest. And I think probably 25 of them, I was just going, this is the greatest thing I've read on Twitter so far. And then, you know, eventually got burned out.
It's New York, yeah? That's where she is, the New York Museum of so New York. It's so New York. And you know, imagine the fucks that are staring at it and like taking it seriously, not just going, oh, look, this is a funny spectacle. I'm glad that I could see this. And
it's so
my friends,
moving.
They're like, look at it. Just really like staring at it like as though it's real art. Oh, those people.
What if?
Let me just take it in. It's moving me. Hold on.
Yeah, I hate those people. I hate most people at museums.
I hate most people.
Yeah, people. What are they? I hate them. Hate the word.
Hate most
the
peas.
Word.
Most pee.
Yep. One-armed guys. Fucking hate them too.
No arms.
What if that's the
only
place?
It has no arms. It's a no-armed person.
It's a fucking, it's a centipede person.
Who do you know with no arms?
Yeah, seriously. A good soccer
Mike,
player.
Mike, think of someone with no arms.
No, you guys don't know this person.
I don't know
anyone. I've said too much.
Anderson,
too
who's
much.
The first thing that comes to your mind when I say no arms?
Hey, you know what's weird?
I don't get it.
Slip up and say the name.
Yeah. Hey, here's the weird part is, I confidently believe that I would know somebody with no arms and no legs before I would know someone with no arms, right? Like, we've seen stumps. We've seen people that ride
skateboards. Oh, well, there's the guy that used to fill in for me on Loveline that was missing both legs.
Oh, Dave.
Yeah, Dave. I have no problems with him, but if I saw him right now, he would conjure images.
Hey,
mad.
What if Tilda Swinton has some kind of medical problem where that's the only place she can actually sleep?
Well, that she moved that shit out of the museum, for one.
She puts curtains up.
Car cover.
Okay. Sorry about it.
We should,
What is that? Why?
I don't know. That's
what
so
is that art
stupid.
Piece?
It's
I still
so...
like the one where, because I have this big fight-on book.
Do you
I love
think
those
other celebrities like audition for it?
David Blaine. David Blaine does the same exact thing, but it's under the guise of, imagine. It's amazing.
Fight-on makes great books. I have like the film book.
Phaidon.
Yeah, the art book. I got like four or five of them. They're great.
They are.
My wife, Jillian, she thinks of them as things to stack other things on, so they've kind of been lost
they're
since
that
we moved
too.
In together.
They're that, too.
But...
Hold
the
on,
art book.
My penis over. Sorry,
it's great. I remember flipping through, and there's this one, and it's like some kind of boring piece on the wall, and there's a ramp that you have to walk up to get to it, and there's a little speaker, and apparently the piece was I might have talked about this on the show. The artist that made the little painting is underneath underneath the ramp, laying on his side, masturbating while yelling things at you through the PA system that's at your feet, and you're not supposed to know that he's under there beating off.
If
that's the piece.
To the human being that goes to that and thinks that's art, you're beyond moron. Like, you've gone around the loop.
Shh, you just don't get it, bro.
I know I don't. Apparently not.
Well, you never say bro, actually.
Hey, you know what? Earlier you were talking about how movies would try, you know, they want to match the footage. So they would try to do things with an amateur look so they'd actually have it. You know what I'm talking about? What you were talking about earlier?
What?
Like letting somebody shoot some stock footage or some B-roll. And because you want it to look like an amateur shot,
right?
Like,
right.
You know what stuck out in my head right there and I forgot about till right now? Popped right back in.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in the classic Airplane?
Yes.
When they're driving to San Diego and they had that footage of the nuclear towers?
Yes, with the boobs.
That's the lowest quality VHS video mixed in with a film movie.
Okay, thank you, Mike, for pointing out some low quality stock footage
but
in
don't
a movie
you agree?
From 1980.
Doesn't
thank
it
you.
Jump out at you like, okay, the movie shot on film and it's got this consistent quality throughout and then it cuts to that and it's shot from a car mm-hmm. on a VHS recorder.
They had to get some quick shots of it.
I know, but
all right. And now, Hashmir, our buddy Hashmir, has been in here in these here studios with his lovely lady. He's claiming that a comedian has a bit about how Jesus hasn't come back yet because everyone's wearing a cross around their neck, and about how if people wore bullets for JFK. I don't know. I've never heard that joke. I'm not trying to steal jokes here, people.
Yeah, I know who that is, but I can't remember their name. I've heard that
must not be that good if you can't remember their name.
I can't remember anyone's name.
Mm-hmm. What's mine?
Steve.
It's wrong. Your name's Greg.
One-armed.
Should we go to Aquila?
Why not?
Or should I talk about how I had a plan to kill someone?
And then I got, oh, yeah. We got to hear that story. Fuck the callers. And then.
Wow, no.
Well,
yeah,
until.
Rude. I like the callers.
After we've heard the story about you want to kill someone. And then I also have to read a couple emails that we got. Remember, I solicited people to tell
let's
us
do it.
The jobs that they.
You know what?
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Give me a second because I'm going to have to turn around and read them and it's going to be really annoying.
Have I not talked about how I had a plan to kill someone on
no.
the show? How could I have not
it doesn't
have done that?
Shock me. So maybe you brought it up, but
it doesn't. You're one of those guys. It doesn't shock him that you.
Well, because he thinks he's heard.
Really think about killing.
No,
someone.
No, it doesn't shock me because I'm not going. That's crazy. You were thinking about killing someone.
I even had the gun.
Ooh.
But I mean, what? I didn't go out and get the gun for
you're
the
gun
purpose.
Someone. Jesus.
What if you read your notes nowadays and you were very embarrassed by them? It's like point gun at enemy.
That's one of my biggest trigger. Problems. Is anything I write. Or shoot or anything. I never want to go back and look at it again. As soon as I do, I just cringe.
You know what? That's more artistic than sitting in a box at a museum.
What?
That attitude. I'm being serious.
Every time like I read any notes or anything, I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Who wrote this? A child?
Like I hear,
even
I
if it's
hear,
good.
I hear famous musicians, one in particular whose name escapes me, very famous.
His name's
who
Steve?
Records one time. That's it. Done. On tape. That's the final product.
I don't
do it again. And the guy's successful, and I wish I could remember who it is, because we know who it is, but it's not U2 or anything like that, but that's more artistic than the, I'm trying to get my point across. Like, you guys are going to come to this
guys,
exhibit.
Let's all sit in a box and do the after disaster.
That's what this show is. This is absolutely what this show is. One take, that's it.
You're right.
Wrap it up.
We should do this show from a museum.
You know what? I was watching some horrible thing on MTV just last night, and it was, you know, I was learning stuff, and I was finding out. It's those two chicks that talk into the camera.
I'm friends with them.
Nikki and...
Yeah, I'm friends with both of them.
It's just the writing was off, and it was stale, and it was stiff, and this is not awkward, especially if you're listening, Jillian. I hate it when Jillian would be like, and then you brought up, and he said that he was friends with them, and it got really awkward. Not awkward. I wouldn't be surprised if Mike knew these people, but it's just so crammed in.
It's
and every
Nikki
time
Glaser
they,
and Sarah.
And every time they made a mistake, it was like, ooh, and they were putting in canned laughter, which felt forced. And I thought, that is not what I have any interest in ever being a part of, even though I would definitely take money if somebody wanted to hire me to work over there because I'm a whore with TV. But you know what I mean? It's just you learn stuff, I guess. It's like instead of reading a magazine, you're watching this.
Yeah.
But it's just so forced. There's nothing organic or natural about it.
I don't know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't seen it. I don't have any idea. But Nikki is
cameras are on, by the way.
Is fantastic. Really?
No.
Nikki is fantastic, and she's also
how many arms
which one's
does
Nikki,
she
the
have?
Blonde one?
Yeah, Nikki is a comic.
I like
and
the other one.
Every time I see her.
Hey, could you bring her in here? Or is she
yeah.
in New York now?
Yeah, she's in New York, but she's out here.
How
a lot.
How you to bring her in?
Well, she's out here a lot.
Let's have her in.
Whenever I see her in person, I am totally taken by how striking she is in person.
Okay. This didn't
like she's,
I did not
she's,
mean for this to be an ad for her person Nikki's personality.
She's
I mean,
6 feet tall and she
is she really
in
the
person,
other one must be 6'4".
No, Nikki is taller than Sarah.
Really?
By like 4 inches or
what
5 inches.
What is happening?
But she is but no
Tyler,
like
you
I
need to watch
her,
more MTV, bruh.
Like when I see her on TV, I'm like she's very attractive, but when I see her in person, she's like striking.
You need to go see Spring Breakers.
Why?
Spring Break.
Not striking. She's beautiful.
Okay. Stunning is usually your go-to.
No, she is
stunning.
Well, I did see some stunning girls today at Runyon, like some supermodel chicks.
Yes,
because
that's where
Runyon.
they are.
I know, but.
Listen, you need to have them in here, and we can talk to them about things they can do on their show that will make it better.
Okay.
All I could do was think about this show though when I was watching it. And I'm like, you know what? Why aren't there more just all the only things that are like this? Here we go talking about the show. The only things that are loose out there are like angry political talks.
Vaginas.
And vaginas. That's it. But there's like, you know, like for people to just speak off prompter, there's not enough of it.
You know where that show came from, by the way? Their podcast.
So that's going to be the after disaster in like
they
3 years?
They started a podcast and immediately got interest. Not immediately, after like a year got interest from Comedy Central.
Well, we've been
and
doing this for like 3.
MTV, and MTV said, let's develop your podcast into a talk show, and they did.
Wait, did they have teleprompters on their podcast too, you think?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they did it from Sarah's apartment.
We need to do these episodes and then just transcribe everything we do and hire 3 girls to regurgitate it back.
It would make no sense when they're talking to each other and calling each other Mike and Anderson and Tyler.
That's
though.
Part of it. It's like, we're surely meta.
You know what? I know we're never going to do that since we haven't done any of the things we said
we're
going to do.
We're not going
to
do that.
But I think that would be a very interesting thing to do is compile what we would consider to be a segment and give it to 3 professionals, actresses, and have them redo it and see if it makes sense and if it's...
I'm pretzel.
Entertaining.
Sorry, you skipped an M. Could you try that again?
How stupid would you sound if somebody else was reading it?
Okay, let's hear from the
caller. Wait, you got pretzels? What? You're making pretzels?
And then Divine Light says that she wishes she could hear us. She's on the message board, but we drop off every 2 sentences. So sorry, that's what you get for listening live. All the people that are listening on their terrible jobs, as Tyler's about to let us know right now, can hear us just fine.
I'm looking forward to this.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Sorry, Divine Light. I apologize. I don't know what to tell you.
I got to find the really disgusting one.
Oh, Tyler. This is... My teleprompter's not moving in
here.
I don't know what to talk about.
This is from listener James. In response to the worst job request you guys did, I'd like to submit my job. I get up at 3:30 a.m. Monday through Saturday. Mm-hmm. Nice. I mean, what's he complaining about?
Asian?
In order to drive through beautiful Illinois' industrial park and strip club capital.
Ooh, that sounds
Saugat,
nice.
Saugat, Illinois? I don't know. Once I get there, I enter the illustrious world of ground beef production.
Mm.
On a good day, I'm dumping 2,500-pound containers of cow parts into giant industrial mixer grinders.
Hey, free meat. That's what I'm hearing.
You have to mix pure chuck with pure fat in order to get just the right consistency of fat-to-lean ratio. Mm-hmm. On a bad day, I get 60-pound frozen beef blocks to throw, literally, on a conveyor belt that leads to the grinder.
It's nice on hot days.
He throws
40 nice cool.
of these and about 25 batches a day. So 25 times 40 is, I can't do the math.
That would be 4,000
something.
Does he mention how bad it smells? Does it smell bad, do you think?
No matter what I do, I get covered in cow goo all day. Uh-huh. Blood, ground beef, half-cooked bone goo from the bone trapper.
Look a man.
We use head meat, hearts, liver, and pink slime, as well as some nice-looking cuts of beef. You haven't lived until you've opened a gooey 60-pound box of cow tongues at 5 in the morning and get splashed with cold cow juice after you've thrown it on a conveyor belt. I do this for 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, in a giant, noisy, fluorescent 30-degree refrigerator. I do this in an environment run by a former Marine drill instructor,
ooh.
And I'm also the only white guy in a group of 10 Grindermen. It's a cool name, though, Grindermen.
Yeah, it's Nick Cave's new band is called Grindermen.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
All the other guys are kind of thuggish black guys from East St. Louis. Don't know why we had to get racist here.
Well, I don't know why you got to talk about the East.
I don't want to be racist, but I'm a bit of a nebbish aging hipster who plays upright bass in a rockabilly band on the weekend. Things just took a turn for the screen. Needless to say, it took a while for them to warm up to me. I used to make a living playing bass in various bands and recording in the Midwest. I wish I could go back to that, but I have kids and a wife and a house now. I have to worry about paying for those things and providing health insurance and all that stuff.
Oh, gee, fuck kids, honey.
So whenever you guys start complaining about how hard your jobs are, just remember me. I'm usually waking up and getting ready for my day of work just as you guys are finishing your show.
Wow. Wow.
We don't smell like cow goo. Wow.
When I worked at a grocery store when I was young and it was the worst job, I had to clean the meat compartments, and all I had to do was spray them out with water and scrub them, and I was covered from head to toe in dried blood and pieces of meat. Like, blood. Covered.
You were covered in blood.
I would have to clean the meat containers with a steam cleaner, and
what?
It took about
Where?
An hour and a half.
What?
Ralph's.
When did you work at Ralph's?
It was called Food Basket at the time. I worked there for 6 months on
Food
the night
Basket.
Crew.
Food Basket was the name of the...
I worked on 11 p.m. till 7 a.m. I lost 30 pounds in less than 6 months.
How old
bloody,
were you?
Bloody hands every night because of ripping cardboard
this.
Up. I cleaned
oh, wait,
up
wait,
after
wait, it was your own blood?
Bloody hands from ripping cardboard boxes all night.
So he could buy his car.
Once a week, I had to clean the meat compartment, the meat and the butcher area with a high-pressure hose.
I can't picture you doing that.
And as I'm hosing it off, the blood just ricochets back and goes and drenches me. Mm-hmm. And it was, once you get enough on you, you can't, you're like, I don't care now.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
And
yeah, it's like, fuck it all in.
It smelled disgusting when I was driving home in the morning. Just all this shit on
me. It's funny, if you had a little bit on your knuckle, you'd freak the fuck out right in the bathroom. Yeah. But if it's like all over your arm.
But hearing his story, first of all, the getting up that early, one, huge strike, nightmare. Uh-huh. It's already a nightmare.
Right.
Two, just the phrase throwing a box of tongues onto a conveyor belt and getting splashed with cow juice. Like, I'm out. I'm like, I got a divorce. I'm leaving the kids divorcing my wife just because I can't do this job.
Here's what I was thinking when I heard that part is, if thank God there's other guys from East St. Louis or not in there. East St. Louis, by the way, is like supposed to be the toughest city in part of the country in the world. In the country, I mean.
Yeah.
Part of the country. East St. Louis is bad, bad times. Bad times. Makes Inglewood out here and Compton and stuff seem pretty tame. From what I've heard.
I think I may have heard that as well.
Brian Cox was a huge football player. I think he still does commentating and stuff. He was from East St. Louis, and he would talk about how he wasn't very tough out there, and he was a total thug. Anyway, God damn it, this thing. I can't hear myself at all. Am I still on?
Yes.
The guy that made the Egyptian version of Happy.
Absolutely. I can't hear Tyler.
That's great.
Hello?
He worked in a warehouse of cubicles typing redirected mail all day long.
Ugh. Wait, typing what?
Redirected mail.
Okay, so imagine you don't have your buddies there helping you out with the tongues, and that's just your job, and you're doing.
Those
all,
aren't really his buddies, though.
All by, well, they are now. All by yourself. Like, I don't think you could do it. I think most people would just be like, "There's no human way that I'm going to work with dead animal parts." But since other people are doing it, it's like, oh, it's kind of what happens. It's what you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here's this wasn't.
Do you think they like don't have a cow, man? How old do you think that joke is there?
With you. I like to see Tyler work a day.
They would just grind me up. They would just put me in the bone grinder, and I would never be seen again.
Do you guys ever watch
to murder someone? Speaking of,
do you guys ever watch How's It Work?
Yeah.
So
like a narrator.
You know what would be awesome is to have like get really creative, be a judge and a jury, and be able to just sentence people and like
to work
a vegan. Yeah. Get sentenced for doing something really awful. Like he touches
here's
kids.
Here's an air gun, plug that cow in the head.
And now here's your job. You get Jeff's job.
And here's a fucking hatchet.
For 6 months, you have to do Jeff's job, you vegan fuck.
Okay, so the guy who narrates our show, it's very positive. It's very upbeat.
What's it called?
How's It Work? It's interesting. It's just too fast. So the one I watched yesterday, Haggis. Haggis is a Scottish.
It sounds like the guy.
So they go through the entire Haggis thing, and it shows the guy just dumping the lungs into the machine. And then the hearts and the heads and stuff. But the lungs is the important ingredient. And they just dump the lungs into this grinder. And then the guy throws in dried onions and all this other stuff. And then
that sounds good.
And then they get all the cow intestines. They have to soak it in water to get it buoyant or stretchy. And then the guy's just filling it with this chopped lungs and onions. And
Haggis is Scotland's national dish made from minced lamb and beef, encased in beef intestine. While quintessentially Scottish, historians believe haggis actually originated in ancient Greece and eventually made its way northward with the Romans.
Mike's nodding's like, yes, I saw this yesterday.
The boxes of lungs going into the grinder is so disturbing.
Uh-huh. Hey, the nuclear reactor scene that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Naked Gun.
Ah, yes.
Not Airplane.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Not Dream.
Oh, when he's trying to not think about sex.
Yeah.
Kessirin.
Yeah.
That's from listener Not Dreamlin Kessirin. Kessirin. All right. I don't know what the name really is, but that's how I read it.
You want to know another bad job?
Yes.
Yeah.
So from I'll just call him Willie. I currently work in risk management for a retail store, also known as asset protection
retail
or loss prevention. Retail store. I make $11 an hour and have to deal with nothing but the most awkward and terrible people that come in the store. How do you think Carano would handle going up to big guy with tattoos on his face and telling him to come back in the store because he stole something?
Plus, you have to be sure, because if he didn't steal something, you're busted. That whole place could be sued, and you're obviously fired.
An example of the fun I had came last Saturday when I stopped a crazy meth addict lady for stealing. I got her into the office where she became hysterical. I tried to calm her down, but instead she decided to pull out her pepper spray and shoot me in the face. Wow. So I'm sorry, but it's impossible to feel sympathy for you guys in your jobs when I have to deal with that. And it's also quite frustrating to hear you guys, mainly Carano, complain about money when you make much more than I do. In case you were curious, I have 2 bachelor's degrees in mathematics and economics, but still can't find anything better than this, even though I apply at a minimum of 5 places a week.
Where does he live?
I shake my heads when you guys complain.
Heads.
He shakes them both?
Yeah. Well, he's got two degrees.
That could be a problem. He walks into a place with 2 heads.
Yeah.
That would scare the fuck out of me. Two-headed security guard?
Security. Get him out of here.
Which face got sprayed with the pepper spray? The only one? That's why you could continue to interrogate?
Yeah.
Where does he live?
It says head. I misread. Sorry.
Where's he from, though?
I just want to clarify, Willie does not have two heads.
You guys.
Where does Willie live?
It does not say where he lives.
Because that has a lot to do
Mike,
with it.
Mike, let this be a learning lesson to you, sir.
Yeah.
Because I don't recall bitching about how did this come up? Was I bitching about work? Was it you? What was going on?
No, we're always bitching about it.
Who's you?
And we're always complaining about things that are minor compared to what the people are doing while they're listening to us.
I know.
Hey, I got to deal with Dr. Drew. Okay, and he's a colossal pain in the balls.
And he bought a $1.6 million apartment in New York a couple weeks ago.
Who did?
Drew.
Drew bought a $1.6 million apartment?
I don't know. I'll look up the article.
What?
Don't say that I said it.
That is so weird.
Don't
what?
Say that he said it, even though he just said it on a podcast.
This guy won't buy a new car.
I know, but now I feel like I sold him out.
Maybe it's an investment.
Yeah, it's totally an investment, obviously.
We have a chemical analyst who listens to our show from the positive pressure volatiles room.
That sounds like
that
a good
sounds
job.
Sounds important.
Sounds like a nice job.
Yeah.
Let's hear about it.
No, that's it. That's all they wrote.
Mm-hmm. Spring break forever. Why don't you guys go see Spring Breakers?
I want to.
You shouldn't. Brian Bishop of the Bald Variety told me that he saw nine-year-olds wandering the mall that he was at saying, I really want to go see Spring Break. Yeah, me too. I can't wait to go see it. Spring Breakers is going to be awesome.
My friend who saw it said... he saw like 20 like tween kids like walk out of the movie because they're like, this is dumb. What is this?
I have no idea what it's even about. It's no idea. But I've seen a lot of tweets about it. Hey, I know we're not here to plug other shows, but it goes along the line of the worst neighborhoods. I listened to 3 episodes of This American Life, and one is a 2-parter about this school in the south side of Chicago.
So good.
It's insane, right?
What are you talking about? I'm reading articles. What's happening?
This American Life, the podcast.
Yeah. But the one about the school where the kids walk separately in the street because the gangs think... I mean, everybody's convinced...
You don't even join a gang anymore. You're just born into that area.
Yeah, and that episode was so...
It was depressing as fuck.
It was so depressing. So depressing. And then so I listened to both parts of that, and then I listened to the one about where 35% of this town is on welfare, and it's one doctor.
Yes,
yeah. That was insane, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's one doctor there.
That put workman's comp.
Well, at first you're like, fuck that doctor. And then you're like, oh, I guess it makes
sense. I have no idea what's happening, guys. As someone who doesn't listen to Ira Glass on a regular basis, I'm lost.
Did you hear the one with...
Let's go back to that one before we move on.
The guy from Portlandia. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Fred Armisen.
Yeah, he's doing him.
He's pretending to be Ira Glass during the episode, and they're just being Ira Glass back and forth to each other.
I know. I'm going to stop plugging it right now. I'm going to stop plugging it.
It needs help, though. It's only number one, I think.
I bought all the TV.
He did.
I bought all the TV shows, all the This American Life TV shows years ago,
on Netflix.
Well, I didn't know that, but I rediscovered the files, and I've been watching them lately.
They're
and
so
the
good.
Show's, the show's better
so,
than I remember.
So good. It's
like,
so
I'm
good.
Like, this show is the best produced.
I've seen. There's only 12 of them, right?
There's 2 seasons, so
two
I don't know. How
I think
many
there's
there
6 and 6.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I still have not seen the very last one because I don't want to watch it and know that they're all gone. That's how stupid.
I played the first episode from the second season about a week ago, and I sat there on the edge of my bed going, "This show is better than I remember." Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's the radio show exactly, but with incredible visuals. They do a really good job.
It's a very, very good show. They don't make it anymore, though.
So let's make it number 1.5 now. We've plugged the number 1 podcast in the world and radio show.
They'll probably plug us. They do this like scratch your back thing. Joseph works for a disaster restoration company, so that's fitting. And the job he's working on this week is a broken sewer pipe that's flooded a basement. So basically, I am cleaning up shit while listening to, all caps, "da shit." So thanks, Joe.
If you guys have ever smelled a grease trap, it's more repulsive than sewer.
Is that just barrel of fat out behind
the
restaurant?
It's more repulsive than sewer.
Don't people go steal that because it's lard? Free lard!
I don't know. You know what?
I think they do.
Maybe they do because... Well, either way, it's more repulsive smelling than sewer. Ours clogged one time at the Improv in San Diego, and we had to call an emergency guy. He comes out, pulls the manhole cover off. It's instantaneous. I'm going to vomit. You know that thing where you don't breathe? You're just like, and then you breathe through
That's
your mouth.
That's when I
shirt.
Walk by people on the street.
Yeah.
I blow out.
So this is what this guy does. He pulls out this metal A-frame out of his truck, hooks on the little winch thing, and just goes right in. And it's the tank... The tank is about 8 feet tall and about 4 feet by 4 feet.
He goes into the grease?
He goes straight in. And the tank, it's not like a tank. It's 8 feet by like 4 feet by 4 feet. Probably holds a couple hundred gallons. He goes in there with the high-pressure jet thing and just to clean out the drain. And it's like a movie, a cartoon, covered in this repulsive, disgusting black grease that smells worse than feces.
No.
I promise you it does. I promise you it does. I promise, promise, promise. And he comes up, and the guy who I worked for at the time, which was Dave Becky, goes, hey, we're going to go across the street and get this guy a pizza. And I was like, hey, you want a pizza? That sounds good, man. So I ran across the street from the worst pizza place on the planet called Pizza Shuttle, the fakest pizza ever.
That sounds terrible.
And I got the guy. It was an Iranian guy that owned a pizza place, and he wanted to be American, so he called it Pizza Shuttle, and it had a space shuttle on the front. And I brought the pizza back to the guy, and I'm like, here you go. And he, without washing his hands, nothing, opened it up and went, thanks, man. This means a lot. And just started eating it.
And did you see him dip it?
That was the worst thing I've ever witnessed as far as a job goes. He essentially submerged himself in what I think was on par with being sewer and used a high-pressure hose, like one of those car wash hoses, to unclog the relief on things in the thing. Basically, it it flows from the kitchen into that thing, and then a truck comes and empties it. And the tube that went to the kitchen was clogged, and he had to go in there with his jet and unclog it.
Mm-hmm.
That was disgusting. Now, getting cow juice on me in freezing temperatures at 3:15 a.m., that's fucking bad, too.
Okay.
Jordan is a welder, and he says, I listen to you complain about candy canes while I weld and occasionally catch my clothes on fire.
This is making me feel like shit, yes.
Okay, summer of, like, 96, 97.
This is making me feel so pathetic.
Stop me.
Right.
Stop me if I've done it, but my worst job
to
date.
I have to take pictures of this guy, and I don't want to.
Gilbert Good.
Yes. God, I'm a loser. You guys, I got to take pictures of this comedian I don't care for. And he's all right, but I don't really care for him for $600. It's 3 hours of my time.
While he tells jokes, and everyone laughs around me and is paying to be in there. And I get to... In the olden days, I'd have martinis for free. Now I drink milkshakes or whatever, water, Fiji water, and sit there, take a few snapshots, listen to the jokes for a while, go visit my friend in the back, go back up in the front row, sit there, take some shots.
I get cow juice on me, too.
Have a few. Maybe if the comedian knows me, he'll point me out, make some jokes about me.
Yeah, it's not bad, actually, now that I think about it.
Jerry cleans up the mess that Mike leaves when he strolls through California Adventure. He works the third shift, which is, I guess that's when after the park closes with 100 other people and they just walk around scraping gum off the ground.
Stop throwing your gum on the ground.
If
over
he's
there,
in
Mike.
Management, because I need someone to get me in there
doesn't
off hours.
Doesn't sound like
just
he's
to take
in management
through.
Since he's cleaning up gum.
Yeah. Mike.
If he's in upper management at the Walt Disney Company and he listens to us while he's cleaning gum to get in touch with the common man.
Yeah. It's like undercover boss. Hey, summer 97, I took a position where I was with usually around 7 to 9 mentally challenged adults, and I would take them on public transportation. I told you this.
Yep.
On the bus, and they're all like a lot of them were, not all of them, but like 3 of them were paranoid schizophrenics who had to take medication, but their medication times on 2 of them were off. So by the time it was in my little book telling me to give them the medication, they were already paranoid and thinking that I was trying to poison them and yelling profanities at me, like in usually in malls, like across Macy's. Fuck you fucking asshole! I'm not taking that shit! And I'd try and round them all up. There's always like 3 girls that were really nice but exceptionally mentally challenged. And then I'd have to try and round them all up to get them back in the bus. And it was like about 105 degrees. And I was trying to
corral. You were the lone guardian for 8 mentally challenged people
adults,
in
yes.
public on a bus?
Yes.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. What if you're a dude that has to take the bus because you have no money and going to your shitty meatpacking job and you're like, my life couldn't get any worse. All of a sudden, 8 mentally challenged people come on and you're the boss.
Oh, like, I worked with this one guy who used to always, he'd always have a clipboard in his hand. I'm like, dude, why do you always have a clipboard? He's like, a few times people have mistaken me for one of them. It was so sad.
Oh,
it
my
was
gosh.
So sad. He was a heavy set guy with a really bad perm.
A clipboard. He's got a clipboard.
Yeah, clearly, he can't be mentally retarded if he has a clipboard.
Challenge.
Sorry. Mike, do you want to be scared of ever flying again?
Oh, no.
When all I'm right. listening to you, Pabs, I'm working for Boeing manufacturing airplanes.
Oh, my gosh.
People put their lives on line every time they fly on one, and as I build those airplanes, I listen to the after disaster. How does that make Mike feel?
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine.
That's Luke.
It's fine.
Yeah, I don't like that they let people listen to podcasts while they're working, period.
You know what? If you're if I were to not be able to do anything during the pre-show, which is now the post-show, Loveline, if I wasn't allowed to go online or have conversations, if I just had to stare at Mike and Drew,
you'd go nuts.
Fucks and shits would get through left and right.
You would go nuts.
You have to be able to do other things sometimes to be able to focus on what you're doing. Does that make sense? which the ladies can't do, which I've decided.
Nope, they can't.
Ladies can't multitask as well as the guys. And they
shouldn't be in positions of leadership
either.
They think they can.
And
I'm dead serious.
That's what's wrong with America.
I'm very serious. And I'll act like I'm not. I wasn't serious if somebody brings it up to me or confronts me. But I'm totally serious. Chicks cannot handle pressure, and they can't handle positions high up in leadership, especially in the entertainment business, because they can't fucking handle it. Now, I'll act like I was being facetious if somebody ever confronts me on this, but know in your heart, I mean it. I'm serious.
I wholeheartedly disagree.
I'm totally going to swear that I was joking, but I swear to God on my life, I feel that way.
What job can the girls not do?
Any job in leadership where there's a lot of stress.
Good thing all the TV executives that are listening to our show right now are females.
No, I'll admit, there's some women that can handle leadership better than some men.
Oh, you got yourself an out right there.
But by and large.
Now, if anyone confronts you, you can be like, remember I said that there are some, and I was talking about you.
I'll just say my experience is every time I've been had to work for a woman who was in a position of leadership and a high-ranking entertainment facility or something like that, she
couldn't... Somewhere deep inside a high-ranking entertainment facility, Mike Carano bitches.
At some point, I saw tears and a breakdown and a just do it because I can't take it. Like, we don't need to do this. Just do it! And you're like, you really shouldn't be in charge of anybody. And it's the same thing with this interior decorator I'm working with right now.
Okay.
Who just
all right, okay, all right. I'm going to save you from yourself there.
Okay,
buddy.
I'll stop.
Yeah.
But she shouldn't be in a position of
okay,
picking
all right,
leadership.
Okay.
Anderson, have you ever wanted to kill somebody?
Yeah, I have.
Check your notes.
It was like a guide. It was like when you're trying to figure things out. Like I did a little a diagram for the script that I wrote because there was a lot of shit going on, especially at the end. And there's like buildings, and I got to figure out who's where and if it makes sense. So I wrote it down in the sense that I mapped out his – he worked at a gas station. And I drew a diagram of the gas station and where I would enter from and where I would flee from. This is all while on meth, by the way, okay? So when you're doing stimulants, trying to self-medicate because it was the only thing that could make me focus back then, it makes you do dumb, crazy, fucked up things. But I'd say there was probably a two-month period where I was thinking about killing this guy like every single day. And the reason for that was my first girlfriend that I actually thought was a girlfriend. Looking back, you know, it was ridiculous. But I was with her for more than a year and a half, probably a couple, maybe 2.5 years. And she had lost her V card. Do I hate it? Do I hate it when people say that? I think I did.
Yeah, I've never heard that until now, and I like it.
I don't like it.
What?
She gave her V card. Well, her
Mike
V card,
likes the V card. It doesn't...
was taken away when she was in seventh grade by a guy who was a senior in high school. So he double raped her because it was he was 18. She was like 14 or 13.
Yeah, that's weird.
And, you know, statutory
her,
and
her V card doesn't even have hair on it yet. Just kidding.
Wow,
it probably
God.
Does. It probably does.
And I love this girl. And at least, you know, especially at the time I did. And I was, it was more of an obsessive, like, I must protect this girl because that's kind of how we got together to begin with. As I was like, you know, I had a lot of problems and I would come into relationships and like I'd be the savior. And that was like, I didn't feel like I was important unless I was the guy. And it killed me that this guy raped her. And I still remember his name. I remember exactly what he looks like. And just the thought of him.
How many arms
him
he have?
Nauseous. He had two. He played in a band.
He had to.
He played in a band. And at night, he worked a graveyard shift at a mobile station, gas station. And I was absolutely set on making this man's life end. And
a rapist.
I got to say, I can relate to that feeling. I could see, like, if you love somebody... And just going, I gotta.
Like I thought that if because I would obsess about the actual rape and like you know like especially guys, younger guys, especially younger
now
guys.
Now it, I know it was rape, obviously, but was it forced rape or was it statutory?
She says it was forced rape. Now things that I've learned about her since, you know, maybe not. I don't know. I know that she was a lot more promiscuous than I had any idea. I kind of idealized her, but guys, younger guys with a lot of energy. I don't know if many women, girls understand this, but like, I bet you're kind of like that too. I wouldn't think Tyler would be, but the obsessiveness, especially about like past relationships and things. And I've been so, a lot of the time it's driven on by stimulants, but I'll get like obsessive about a girl's past and like things that she did with guys where it's just, I spin out of control.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I can think about.
Yeah.
And I would give up so much to make the past never exist. And it's absurd. It's ridiculous.
It's totally absurd. And I also build it up in my head from nothing.
What do you mean?
Well, someone like when if I have a crush on somebody, like, well, I can give you an exact example, and she tells me, "Oh, I used to be obsessed with my teacher," and then I just, you know, when I was younger, and then I start thinking, she just wants to fuck her teacher.
Where is that guy now? Does she still
yeah,
think
she's
about
gonna
him?
Fuck him now.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and I remember, and that none of that came up. That's just a legitimate thing for girls to be sexually attracted to their teachers. Some girls, you know,
it's jealousy. It's just pure, yeah. Unexplicable jealousy, and the idea that this guy walked among us, still in our own town, down the street working at this gas station, knowing that he had raped.
Yeah, and this, that he's, and then he, you, because you also imagine that his life is fine. He's like, yeah, da da da. Yeah,
and I'd see him, and he would always be happy, strumming his guitar.
I want to get him now.
And like all the girls still like this guy.
Let me do punch up on your notes.
And I thought that if I ridded him of the earth, all those feelings. Looking back, it's ridiculous, but I really thought, because I would obsess every single day. I would think about it. I would imagine the rape in my head and just become nauseous. And,
I know.
I'd relive it. And I way more traumatized than she was. She didn't move past it long ago. She probably wanted to go hang out with the guy. Still. Really? Actually, I think they ended up hanging out after we broke up.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah. Well, she has a lot of problems. She also ended up being ownership. Not kidding. She was owned by the Hell's Angels for a while.
You told me about her.
Yeah. It's that one. Yeah. But I, in my
sounds
meth
like a lovely lady.
Riddled mind, believe that if I wiped this guy out, I would stop thinking about, which is, of course, I would continue to think about those things. Plus, I'd be a murderer.
You'd be thinking about while you're in prison.
But I was probably edging more on not doing it, but I was
probably
enough into it that I was going to his work, parked across the street, smoking cigarettes, watching what time he got in. I'd drive by like all night, and then I'd drive by sometimes to see if he was still there, trying to figure out what his schedule was. Ended up being friends with a guy that worked there with him.
Oh, no.
And I had a gun, and I had a little diagram, and I knew where I would park, and I would go in and shoot him and go out the back door, get in my car, and be gone like in three minutes flat.
I'd like to sit here.
3 minutes. That seems too long.
I'd like to sit here and go, like, you're nuts, you're nuts. But I swear to God, I thought you were nuts before you told the story. I'm 100% in. 100%.
But my life would
be
completely
over.
Like, right
now, I'm like, if we could do something to that dude right now without getting caught, we should probably think about it.
You have to assume that.
Just for kicks.
Not doing so well, though.
No, you hope.
He's doing great.
I should look him up, though.
Yeah, you should.
He's like on a yacht.
Oh, that'd be so upsetting.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, we could drown him. It might all start spinning again. Hey, honey, I know that we're married now, but I got some old business I got to take care of.
I was talking to
him. Go to
I saw some guy on Facebook on a yacht pouring champagne on himself.
I was talking to my nephew. My nephew wanted to ask me one scene about one thing that happened.
I talked to you about that.
One scene in Batman, 2 hours, 21 minutes. We talked on the phone. I swear to God, I have the recorded proof. Then my brother called me back.
You recorded the phone call?
No, I have the record from Apple, 2 hours, 21 minutes. And I felt so goddamn guilty getting off the phone with an 8-year-old after 2 hours and 21 minutes going, listen, I got to go. Well, Mike, one more thing. Listen, I got to go. Mike, seriously, if Batman gave him something out of his utility belt, why would he? And I was like, I got to go. Bye. I love you. Click and hung up. Because it was 2 hours and 21 minutes of Batman talk. And
they don't get the social cues of, yeah.
And he has so much energy he won't stop.
Was it the good Batman or the old, like, old bad Batman?
Batman Begins.
That's a boring one.
3 ago. So my brother gets on the phone. He goes, hey, did you see that thing Nikki sent you, my sister? And then my brother's wife gets on the phone. He goes, yeah, you look at this link. So we all at the same time, essentially over the course of the week, started doing research into the cult we lived in. And all of us came to this weird conclusion. My brother crystallized it with, do you know there's no pictures? There were 50 families that lived there for years, and there's no pictures of anyone there. And I was like, and I started looking, and there are no pictures. And then we tried to find the guy who was the leader, and fucking nothing for probably an hour while we're all looking on three separate computers. And finally, my brother goes, I'm sending you a link. I found some guy on MySpace. He's got the same name, Leon DeVoid, in Redding, California. And then I started clicking down on people searches, and I didn't pay for any, like, private eye searches, but I found the links to his two kids. And then my sister sent me a link to one of the kids who's in jail.
Looks just
trying
like
to meet a wife. Oh. I get out in 2015, and I'm looking for someone nice who likes to do the fun things. And we found the dude, and he's like he had been possibly convicted of like selling marijuana or something. But before, he was the religious leader of the group. But it's definitely him. And he's abandoned his original family for his new family because he doesn't have any contact with them or even reference them. But
you need to make a documentary about this guy.
But it was one of those
things.
And
then reveal at the end that you were one of the kids.
Like, you're like, we should find that guy. And it struck a chord with me because of the fact that I just spent over an hour talking to my brother online with my sister doing it and my brother's wife doing it, trying to find anybody that lived in that cult. And then we did find some message boards where somebody said, they tried to defend it, you know. I lived there for 2 years and blah, blah, blah.
And we had a rocking nice... chair contest.
No,
so
yeah,
was
they thought it was nice. And
there
we
was
were like
old parachutes.
Holy crap.
Hey, I was watching that show, Yup, minus the Yup, because he got fired.
Oh, I didn't even know that show was still on the
well,
air.
He's suing them, apparently, allegedly. I don't know. But Dave's
more
no
like
longer.
Snorage Wars, man.
Snorage Wars. It's not as good without Dave. We need that villain. We
it's
need
not
that
as
strive.
Good. Like, I mean, before we knew it was like, you know, whatever. But now that it's like out in the open, that like, yeah, it's mostly bullshit.
I don't know if it is.
Nah, it's like confirmed.
Look at me. God, I'm a contrarian and I hate that about myself. Immediately, I was like, when I was watching that show, I'm like, it's so obvious. They must like take shitty lockers and then plant something in there to
yeah,
make it interesting.
They do.
And then Dave comes out and says, yeah, they plant stuff. I'm like, no, they probably don't.
He's a liar.
I was watching one a couple days ago with the wife there, and they were doing it. They went to Lake Elsinore. Is where they went to the storage facility, and it was really old, creepy shit. Like all the stuff that they opened up was like from the '20s. It was weird.
I like that. Yeah. That might be a good one.
It was cool.
How long has that person paid their friggin' bill?
Not long enough.
Oh wait, I thought it was locked since the '20s.
No, they just like collect stuff from the '20s.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why I thought of this, but did you do you know why, or did you ever write your name on your underwear? Why do people do that?
Brothers, sisters.
I think it was at laundry. It was for laundry.
Yeah, kids that are like semi
people still do that
size.
It makes sense because if you've got three kids and they're all wearing the same size underwear,
I'm sure
they don't
that Drew's
mix
kids,
it up.
They're all triplets.
Yeah. Kids. And they all wear women's underwear.
Why don't
so.
You just like buy one kid blue underwear, one kid like red underwear?
That requires too much thought.
Yeah. What are you talking about? It's easier to just whip out the Sharpie. I never had my name on my old undies there.
Yeah. But it was always said in reference to going to camp, though. So I figured maybe they took, like, a group laundry day or something. God, that sounds repulsive. It's like this disgusting underwear soup.
This is probably a repeat, too. But whenever I go to camp, speaking of camp, I always bring the exact amount of underwear that I need.
That's your countdown?
It's usually, like, 11 days. And I'll put it in, and then, like, every time, you know, I put it in the dirty part of my bag, then I only have like 8 left. And it's just like that. It's my countdown, right?
Yes.
I was at camp. It was I was with all the kids. We're all in the big cabin, and it was my last day. Get out of the shower. Last morning, I go for my last pair of underwear. My boxers are gone. I'm like, what the? Like, where the hell are they? I'm looking around, kind of like around my bunk area. I turn, and Josh, who is this huge black kid who's hilarious and awesome and blind as can be, but not blind, not so blind that he couldn't see what he's doing right in front of his face. Huge! Bigger than I am. And he's probably like 13 at this time, 14. He's wearing my boxers. I'm like, Josh, what are you doing wearing my boxers? And he just starts laughing. He goes, I'm wearing your Jonies. And I never got him back.
Why isn't that in Skunk Skull?
Yeah.
There's nothing for it. There's no.
Yeah, you should add some. Cold, keep it that in somewhere.
Cold, another, the second cold opening. I like...
when the dinosaurs are attacking, you could put it in that part. Like, that's like what the conversation they're having before the dinosaur bites the roof off the building.
He knew it, too, that bastard. He knew that he was wearing my underwear. He must have just run out of his own. So he was pleased as can be that he stole my undies. It was a giant shit grid. He's like, I'm wearing your chonies.
I was very fearful that you were going to wrap that story up with, I got him back from him, put him on.
No.
And like,
that was my gift. That was my gift. It was really awkward when I met his mom down the hill. And I'm like, I gave your son my underwear.
Almost any piece of clothing that I have, if you take
as you fly down the mountain smoking your cigarettes.
That's so true.
I have germ problems, and especially
germ
dead skin problem.
Problems.
Germ
problem, a
new word. Germs.
But, you have what problems?
Germ problems.
Okay, you said it right.
Any piece of clothing that you take of mine that's like an undergarment put on, mm-hmm. that's my gift to you instantly.
How often is that happening?
I mean, because sometimes, I've had people, I've been in Vegas and someone's like, I don't have a shirt, can I borrow that t-shirt? I'm like, yep. And then they try to give it back to me at the end of the road trip. I'm like, it's yours.
Mike, I'm pretty sure you'd do that even if you didn't have a germ problem. You'd just be like, it's too much work to take it from you and put it in my car. Have it.
Is it? I was at my buddy's house and he was a gangster. And he was in that gang that they all hated me, but he didn't. His name was Sean. Should I say his full name?
Sure.
Sean Atkins. Big black son of a bitch, mean fucker, but we always got along really well. And like, he would protect me from all the other guys in his gang that wanted to kill me. They're called the Houston Hood. Should I be saying this?
I don't know, but I got a weird feeling about this.
But I was we were out partying all night, and I woke up in the morning, and I ended up taking a shower, and I needed boxers. And he let me borrow a pair of his clean, fresh boxers, and they were white, and they had paisleys on them. And they were the most comfortable boxers I ever had, and I kept them for like 3 years. Those were my go-to boxers.
Did you give them back?
No, never. But they were like my favorite, and every time I put them on, it was a little bit weird.
Were you ever wearing? Yeah, you're wearing them around him.
I don't know if I ever said, hey, buddy, wearing your underwear.
Hey, what a goddamn hypocrite I am, because that's grossing me out. But I remember another road trip in Vegas, and I didn't have a clean shirt, and somebody gave me a Jon Stewart Show shirt from the original Jon Stewart MTV show, and I wore that shirt for years, and it was my favorite T-shirt. But somebody else had worn that. It had their dead skin in it.
It's not dead. You got to put it in the wash. It gets rid of it.
The minute somebody touches your clothes, their dead skin is transferred to your clothing.
Drew's very upset.
And that's repulsive and very, very...
Drew's giving the shoulder shrug, like, what the fuck's going on in here?
That's sort of my note.
Yeah.
Was it
but
really?
Any chance I have to sit down next to my crown, I'll take.
Mike wants to talk to you about property.
Dead skin.
I didn't want to talk to you
dead
about
skin.
It.
Touching clothing.
Welcome to the program. Come on in.
Skin transmitted to me.
Jesus,
I just touched him.
It's so loud. Somebody else's clothes.
Wow, that was loud.
So a friend of mine, who is the most New York guy of all New York people in New York, sent me a link to your new apartment. And he sent it to me for a reason.
Oh, yeah. No, this is uncomfortable. This is uncomfortable.
Exactly where he lives, one block away.
Oh,
exactly.
Your friend of yours. Nice.
Same address.
His friend's that bum that's going to be masturbating across the street.
Drew, come on in. Would you like to be a part of the after disaster?
Sure, why not? Why not? That's good, right?
It was such a weird...
Are you leaving the show? Are you moving to New York? Is that what's happening here?
No, I spent a lot of time in New York. My kids are all in New York. New York's sort of ground zero for our family.
You're bi-coastal.
Ground zero.
I was going to say, New York's ground zero for my family.
How dare you? How dare you?
You know.
Ground zero for a lot of families.
I'll say that Chin Chin
is... Tyler.
Too soon. We were talking about on this very show that probably about 20 years from now, they're going to have bouncy houses of the Twin Towers.
Chin Chin's like an internment camp for my stomach.
It's like Titanic, right? They have Titanic things. It's like, who cares? How long is it going to be before they have Twin Towers?
Yeah, and there'll be songs about it.
Or will they
it
not
was
because
sad.
It was an attack?
Well, the Great Towers went down.
I got to go with this. I don't think it's going to happen. The Titanic one, I don't think in 100 years.
What if the Nazis took down the Titanic, though? Would that make it so that it's faux pas and you can't do it?
Yeah, with Lusitania, we didn't make it of that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Definitely don't talk about the Bismarck.
We didn't hate Nazis as much as we hated the people who took down the Twin Towers.
Oh, well, come on. Know. Haven't you seen those Bugs Bunny cartoons? the propaganda cartoons about the horrible racist cartoons and things they used to do.
Here's the thing, the Titanic, take the movie, for example, do you think somebody is going to make a love story about the shuttle crash? Like
possibly.
Two astronauts fall in love?
No.
I think they could. Ugh. Especially if they mix the two and they got like the girl wearing her diaper across the country.
So before I get too deeply into this podcast.
And you know
we're
what
wrapping
we
it up anyway so you can get as deep as you like.
I got to do another podcast, so we got to do this. We got to cut it off here, but go ahead with your final thoughts.
Well, that was my thought. I thought there was another podcast following.
There is, but Mike the Second, also known as Mike Catherwood, will be a little late.
Oh,
so
fine.
Why don't we shut this fucker down?
Okay.
So we can get another business. But we'll be back next week.
Or maybe you two should just join us on the other podcast.
I think, first of all, we should thank
Drew
for trying to get Mike to plug our podcast on his.
Yeah,
he tried his darndest.
He did a little bit. I listened to the podcast with you and Mike on there.
That's what I'm saying.
Furious. I was at the gym, Drew.
You're furious?
And I was absolutely enraged, taking notes.
Yeah.
He's an asshole.
Yeah, it's all Mike plugging other things other than the After Disaster. And what did I say to you two fucks when you were walking out? I'm like, please.
Did you plug the After Disaster,
plug the after disaster on
my thing?
No. He did plug in and out. He plugged in and out. He plugged numerous other podcasts. And an After Disaster caller called in, got through. You guys took the call, and his question, his name is Ali from Egypt. His question was.
Yes, Ali. He calls Adam stuff all the time.
How's
too.
The After Disaster since becoming sober, Mike? And Mike says, I see another call I'd like to take. It's not funny. All right. Good night, everybody.
I don't remember all that, but okay.
Last
good night, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, Ali from Egypt who calls